Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Coffee Cast with Cation and Rubin, powered by Behind the Racket, the podcast dedicated to looking at the top issues facing tennis and getting to know the players facing them.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. The Coffee Cast can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
Special thanks to our sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at newbalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com. And now,
this is part of a new series we're going to be doing here. As this is what, don't shake your head at me.
I'm disappointed because we don't have a name yet.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to do this two-pronged. Number one.
Yes.
And this is, you know, we're on live right now, right?
Oh, I'm one way.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
We're going to do this two ways.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in the process of kind of changing the podcast, just a little bit here.
Oh, we are.
It's been powered by Behind the Racket. There's going to be a name change coming here over the next couple of weeks that we're excited to discuss with you guys. But we're also going to kind of divide the podcast into two portions. Number one, some of the interviews that you guys have really had the opportunity to go with us and interview and get some Behind the Racket type scenes with some of the players we've talked to over the last several months. But this year, we're also going to take you behind the racket with Noah himself from week to week. So here's what we're going to do. We need a name for this segment.
Help.
It's going to be roughly 10 to 15 minutes just of the psyche of Noah Rubin, which is a scary place to be.
I was going to say 10 to 15 minutes a day.
But I think this is one of those opportunities, Noah, for fans to understand really what goes on week to week, see how your brain holds up, how your body holds up, both on the positive and the negative sides. And we need a name for it. We need a name for this particular segment. So if you can, tweet Noah or myself, NoahRubin33 or MikeCTennis. If your name is the one we choose, you will get an autographed ball from Noah Rubin.
And more, because I know that's not enough.
I think that's a lot.
Yeah,
it's worth at least $2.
For the right person.
Australian dollars.
Conversion rates are low.
It's about a quarter back in the States.
But no, I'm excited about this. I think, you know, obviously I like to hear my own voice.
Yes,
I have
you
enough
do.
Thoughts going on.
You do.
But tweets don't do it justice. You know, there's so much that I think isn't discussed. I think there's so much that I just can't put into words all the time in that character format. And I think people actually have to understand what is going on week to week. Yes, the Behind the Racket stories are great to understand, you know, what's going on in the players' minds overall. But we want more week in, week out mm-hmm. basis and that feel. So, you know, in the situations that we have ongoing at tournaments, now you know. I just want you to be a part of it. That's really what it is. And I think that's what Mike had in his head when he came up with this.
As we're recording this, I have completed my first Australian Open qualifying match, which was, I got to watch Hayley Baptiste in person for the first time, and that was impressive. And you are a day away from your Grand Slam season getting underway against Hiroki Moriya.
Yes.
I will say, from a outsider's standpoint, looking inside of your brain.
Ooh, don't do that, but continue.
You seem stressed. You seem like you've been stressed the last couple of days. Huh. Accurate?
At times. I think if you look at a lot of players, this is when you start seeing the repercussions of off-season and preseason not being long enough. And you start talking to these players, and they're like, are we in week 45, or is this 2020? Are we still in 2019? What is happening right now? And I think that actually takes a toll. Once you get on the court, some of that stuff is alleviated at times. But, you know, once you're down a break, some of that starts creeping inside your head. But, I mean, just simple things like what racket to use, what strings are we using, did I have enough time to test out my new drink on court, all these things that you get excited for off-season, but you almost forget that you don't have that time to prepare. And that comes into play, and that's I think that's where the stress in myself comes and other players.
You talked with our friends at Crack Rackets last week in Ann Arbor.
I did.
About how part of your off-season, the big part, was getting that mental side kind of locked down a little bit more.
Yes.
Then to see you stress the last couple of days with some of the external things that are happening here at the Australian Open, which tragic a little bit more so outside of what's happening here in Melbourne, but... How do you balance those two thoughts?
This is a different stress, actually. It's a good stress. I don't mind this as much. I mean, there are definitely some areas that we have to crack down on, but this is not the one that keeps me up at night stress, which is good. I actually have worked on my mentality. I am probably in the best place tennis-wise that I have been, and that's exciting for me. The other things I can deal with, and I'm stressed out. That's who I am. You know,
right.
You've known me for many, many years now, very close. That's how I deal with things. I'm a New Yorker. I'm hard. I want to get stuff done, and I hope I get shit done. I mean, that's just how it is. But I have been in the best place now on the court, which I'm excited about. I mean, it's just a place where I'm so worried about growth over everything else and truly understanding how long the seasons are that you can lose for 6 months and still be top 100 in the world. And I'm trying to just really implant that into my head. So yes, I am stressed out, but it is on the better end of the spectrum for me.
It's you're without a coach at
yes.
the in terms of a technical traveling coach. You do have a coach with you here.
I guess technically, yeah, somebody with a badge has Noah Rubin's coach on it.
How do you balance that when you are in some ways alone, but obviously you're accepting some help as well?
Yeah. I think a coach is necessary to get to the top. There's very few players that have not done that, whether it's the Kyrgios or the Federer at times, but I think it is needed. I've been working with a few people back home. My father's obviously helped me. I went back with a little help with my old coach, Lawrence Klager. So, you know, that's been great. But again, I think on the road at the place I'm in right now, the least amount of distractions as possible is actually helpful. And I think at times having a coach, and I've seen it with other players where you kind of get outside your own head. And as you know, with my own head being a dark place, I have enough thoughts going on where I think I can at least think clearly enough and strategically, and I can look deeper into my own game that I can figure out some of the issues. It's really before the competition, how well prepared am I? You know, once I get here, it's about maintaining and just being in the right state of mind. And honestly, again, in the future, I hope to have one. But for right now, I'm fine with just having, you know, friends, business partners kind of travel with me and have that kind of support.
You were supposed to introduce him, talk about him. I mean, he's right there.
He is. Looking.
You want to say anything about
it? He's pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Zach Mitchell. You know, I got this email.
Yeah.
Around Indian Wells.
Yeah.
It wasn't too flirty, which was nice. It was just enough saying, I actually really, and this is early on in Behind the Racket, just a couple months, less than a couple months, and he said, we have to talk. I don't know what you're doing with Behind the Racket. I don't know what it is, but we have to talk. That was one of the first few times where I was starting to figure out that Behind the Racket had legs.
Yeah.
And here this guy is, you know, working with Michael Kirk Douglas and all these other big names. And I'm like, who's this guy reaching out? Is it real? And next thing I know, he has a Behind the Racket hat mock-up for me to wear. And we're having a steak dinner and, you know, shooting around ideas. And a year later, I'm annoying him at Australian Open. So.
And he's coaching you.
And he is technically coaching me. Yes.
Okay, so as we wrap up here,
yes.
as we mentioned, you have Hiroki Moriya
yes.
coming up in your first round of qualifying here at the Australian Open. How have you prepared specifically for this match? What does a scout look like? What does a practice session look like on a day like this, the day before a match?
Yeah, obviously some circumstances, you know, prevent maybe the same old practices. I actually did cut my practice a little shorter today just because I didn't want to be out in the smog outside. You know, after 45 minutes, we played a lot of games. I was like, I'm good. You know, I don't need another 15 minutes of breathing this in. But yeah, I feel good right now. I feel confident. Body's feeling good. I'm actually physically in some really good shape legs-wise. We'll see how the arm holds up.
Yeah, but have you scouted? I mean, like, I know you know Hiroki Moria. Don't get me wrong. But
and lucky enough, you know, for American players, we have kind of a database where we can throw around, and they've been extremely helpful with a lot of that stuff. So there is some footage, obviously, like a live stream. You can go back on matches. So, yes, I have seen, obviously, you know, not the stereotype, but they play, you know, in Asia, they play a certain way, and they're pretty consistent in that, you know, style of play, and you have to know that. You know, they're going to be good. They're making, you know, a decent amount of balls, but it's going through the court fast. So it's knowing how to combat that. And again, I think my body's in good shape to play against somebody like that.
Yeah, I think your body's in great shape.
Okay. And I know we're wrapping up here and we only have a few, but I have gotten, it's weird. I never get anything like, oh, you guys are good friends. It's either like, wow, Mike is bashing you on air, or it's like, wait, is Mike throwing you signals like a little too often?
Yeah,
like,
right,
the pants down thing a few too many
times. Listen, just our time in Charlottesville brought us closer. I mean, the candlelight dinners at 12:30 a.m. at Waffle House.
That was it. I'm still dealing with that meal to this day. My body has not fought that off yet. But yeah, no, and you want to talk about, and I know this might be a little longer than we wanted right now, but we've dealt with it at Fairfield. We're dealing with it here. It's a tough situation, and you don't know how to go about it. And then I know the people at the top have really not dealt with this before. Yeah. So, you know, this is a path not traveled. You know, I just wanted a little more communication. I'm hoping that we have a little more communication throughout the process. You know, it worries me. Even at this stage, I'm hoping they're making the right decisions for us. You can only wish for that, but I'm worried. I really am.
It's a complex situation here with the bushfires in Australia because, obviously, number one, the most important thing is obviously the safety of those who are most affected.
Without a doubt. We'll
closer to the
forever.
Fires. Yes, we have to preface it. You got attacked for talking about that earlier or today, or not talking about it.
As if I don't care, but
it's yes. that's number one. Number two, this is unprecedented. It's not as simple as it is when it's rain, where you can say we wait X amount of hours and then there's going to be a break in the rain. You can't do that here.
No.
And I know that they are working very diligently to try to figure out which way the smoke is going to be moving. It's a complex situation, and yeah, a lot of factors going in. And I mean, I can say today when I did my match, I know this is supposed to be about you, which is the most important thing, you. but you know, when we're trying to talk about it, we're trying to focus on the tennis.
Right.
But the human toll, obviously more so for people close, but for the players, it's challenging.
Yeah, I just, you hope that the minds at the top are putting humanity first. Mm-hmm. That's always the hope, but you question it at times. You question if money comes into play, if, you know, can we push this a day back? Can we push this 2 days back? You don't know what they're thinking about. But again, playing in this in Fairfield and dealing with some of the just like minor coughs after, and this was twice as bad this morning.
Yeah.
It worries me. Should we be playing 3 hours in this? Do we really know how this can affect the players? And of course, it's Australian Open. It's a tremendous tournament. But that's not worth a life. That's not worth, you know, whatever the repercussions could be. And again, it's unprecedented, but I think we have to take it a little more cautiously than we have.
Yeah. Well, so this is our first segment of the To Be Determined name. And again, tweet at Noah,
yes,
at NoahRubin33, or DM him on the gram or
whatever.
MySpace, whatever.
Yes, I have three friends.
Did you have a MySpace?
Too young. Facebook, sixth grade.
Okay, I had a MySpace. I had a top five musical artists. That was very exciting for me back in the day. It was like Jimmy
Please
World and stuff.
Please stop talking.
Why? I hate you.
Please.
But yeah, make sure you let us know what you think the name should be, and we'll continue to take you behind the racket with Noah Rubin throughout the year.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoRubin33 and at MikeCTennis. We want to hear your opinions and stories behind the racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us ratings on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket on the Coffee Cast with Cation and Rubin.